we all like happy endings. We enjoy happy endings. We even many times in when we hear stories, it's like, and they all lived happily ever after. We want to hear that, don't we? I remember, I've gotten so when I watch Westerns, I usually when they end, I look at Ryan and Jason and all that lived happily ever after. But you know what? I remember being crushed. I believe it was True Grit. When I first saw the Western True Grit and John Wayne died, I was crushed. Like, man, Westerns are not supposed to end this way. But we like happy endings. Well, we've been talking about the story of Noah's Ark. We've gone past Noah's Ark just a little bit. I believe this will probably be the final message in the series. And I'd like to say, from the Bible, and they all lived happily ever after, but that was not the case. We're going to be talking about some subjects today that you don't always hear in church. We're going to be talking some about sin. Sin. I think part of the problem with our churches today are that the preachers and the teachers never say the word sin. They're afraid of that word. Well, it's a very biblical word, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we're going to talk about some of the consequences of sin today. We're going to be talking about some ways that we can do better, as we know that people are watching us. Sometimes as we sin, now you could be there today. I figure most of you get it, but what is a sin? A sin is anything that displeases God, anything that falls short of the glory of God. So today, our text is Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 to 29. Genesis chapter 9, verses 18 to 29. I believe God has a message for us today, if we just listen close. It says in chapter 9, verse 18. It says, and the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem and Ham and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah. And of them was the whole earth overspread. So, from the very beginning, we're given the names of the three sons, and we're also given that Ham is the father of Canaan, and that's going to be significant here in a moment in what's said, or you might say, I don't quite get it. So Canaan is the son of Ham. And all of us came from one of those three sons of Noah, every single one of us on earth today. We know, I might say, in a positive note, that Shem is the bloodline of Christ. That Abraham was in the bloodline of Shem, and Christ was in the bloodline of Shem. It says in verse 20, and Noah began to be a husbandman, a tender of gardens, and he planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, interesting there, the father of Canaan, making the point again, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. and Canaan shall be his servant. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years. And all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. As we look at this story, it's not a pleasant story. But point number one today, even good men sin. Even good men sin. So watch out. In this story, do you remember what Noah was called? And this was during the time of the 120 years, the faithfulness there of building the ark. Do you remember what he was called in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5? 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. He was called, it says here, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You see, he was called a preacher of righteousness in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. If you turn back, if you have your Bible open in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8, this is one of the verses we remember from the story of Noah's ark. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Praise the Lord. God used Noah to continue to have mankind on the earth. God commends Noah in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, notice what it says. It says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. But it says, by faith Noah. So we know Noah was a righteous man. He was a preacher of righteousness. He was a faithful man. It says he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. But as I look at this story, Noah failed God. Noah sinned against God. Now, if I'm understanding the story correctly leading up to this point, can I tell you that it appears to me that Noah was the most righteous man on the whole earth. But yet he sins against God. You know, the warning that I have, he said, well, so what? Well, so what? Sin has, I'm going to say a lot about sin, but it's very crucial that we look at sin the way God does. Y'all agree with me on that? And here you have someone who is righteous, actually the most righteous man on the earth, but yet he still failed God. Now, that probably should do at least a couple things to us. Number one, it's like, okay, even the righteous fail, so at least I'm not alone when I sin against God. But don't take a whole lot of comfort in that. But the second part is, be careful if you think you're standing for God. Be careful, because the devil wants you to fail, and even the righteous sin against God. Does that make sense? You say, well, how exactly did he sin? Well, first of all, he sinned by getting drunk. Secondly, he sinned by exposing himself. Now, I realize that we live in a world that almost anything goes. And unfortunately, that philosophy is infiltrating the church, coming into the church. And really, almost anything goes. Well, we don't really care what you do. We don't really, just come on. Unfortunately, a lot of churches, that's the case. But you know what? What is sin before God back in Noah's day is sin to us as well. It says specifically that Noah got drunk. Now, I could devote a whole message to this. It depends on how long-winded I get here. I might. But you say, what does drinking have to do with me? you know, is it okay for me to drink? Is it okay for me just to have a little social outing and I get my little wine glass and I drink it? Is it okay? Well, let me tell you something, okay? Let me tell you something. First of all, the authority on that is the Word of God. And we're going to look at that. We're going to spend a little bit of time looking at a few verses. But secondly, can I tell you that humanly, in my family, brothers and sisters, I have two siblings, a brother and a sister, that are both out of this world because of alcohol. So even on a logical human perspective, if you want to set aside the Word of God, I would argue with you up one side and down side the other that I have yet to find any good thing out of anything alcoholic, out of any type of alcohol at all. But it goes way beyond that. The Word of God addresses that. And really, I would be very surprised if some of you right now, you're getting a little bit nervous because you are maybe a social drinker, or you do have that alcohol in the refrigerator. I hope you get more uncomfortable. I hope you get so uncomfortable you remove that from your home. In our family, we call it the devil's poison. And we encouraged our boys, don't you ever take a drink of alcohol. I have never tasted alcohol. I have no plans on ever taking. I have seen the effects even from the human perspective, but what about God's perspective? I also know what He says about it. So we're going to look at that for just a moment. But even good men, like Noah, sin. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Notice this. Notice this verse. Now this is New Testament, right? This all happened, but even before the law. Noah and all this is before the law. You know, a lot of people like to take comfort and say, oh, but we're not under the law. Well, let me take you to a New Testament verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So I'm kind of backing into this argument a little bit, but if nothing else you get from the... You're not supposed to get drunk. It says it right there. Isn't that pretty clear? Wherein is excess. It's talking about riotous living. Because it's saying if you're drunk with wine, it's going to lead to riotous living. I always thought that wherein in excess means just don't overdo it. Don't drink too much because you're drunk. And that's talking about excess. But really, that's talking about riotous living. And if you know of anyone who has gotten drunk, it leads to riotous living, typically. And I know some will say, but, you know, I know someone, or maybe even I can just be at my home and I can just pull out my Budweiser and I can drink it and I'm perfectly fine. There's no riotous living here. Well, I still think you're sinning against God as we continue to look at Scripture. It says, be not drunk with wine. So would everyone here agree with me? Give me a little nod that getting drunk is clearly against God's will. Clearly sin. All right, I didn't get an overwhelming arouse, any big time amens to that or even big time nods, but I can assure you this is God's Word. You know what? I would not care. Honestly, I've been under preachers. You got to keep in mind, I'm an engineer, okay? Also. And I've had people say, no, you're not an engineer, you're a preacher. Well, once you're an engineer, you're always an engineer, okay? I'm an engineer. Right, Bill? I'm always an engineer. You're always going to be an engineer. You'll think of things along engineering lines. It's the way I'm trained, analytical. That's why the messages go point number one, point number two, point number... That's the way I've been trained, okay? An engineering way of thinking. So I'm still an engineer. And as I was an engineer, I've been under a lot of preachers. Fortunately, I've been under really good preachers. I mean, really good preachers. But if any one of them got up and said, you know what, today I'm not going to preach the Word of God. I'm just going to have a whole message on my opinion. You know what? I probably wouldn't have stayed for the rest of the service, or at least would have clicked. Okay, I don't really need. It could be good stuff. It'd be good. And today, can I assure you, I am not just giving you my opinion. I'm giving you God's word. And that ought to be end of story. Do you know what I mean? I mean, there's nothing to add to it. You know, in someone's eloquence, well, I just want to defend this, and I want to say this, and I want to say. There's no defending anything other than the Bible says clearly that getting drunk is against God's will. Do you know how many bad things have happened when people get drunk? And we'll talk a little bit more about that. But can I say, I mentioned this fairly recently, my acting career was ended. Right after my engineering, I was going to go be an actor in Hollywood. You know, I was going to be a cowboy. But I was in a wreck with a drunk driver, and I got this scar here. And that would make me a bad guy in a Western, and I didn't want to look like a bad guy, okay? But seriously, do you know how many people have been killed by drunk drivers? So not only is God all-knowing, God is really smart. He says, it's a sin. What else does the Word of God say? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. Now, what is Proverbs? Proverbs is a book of wisdom, right? It's got, Proverbs is kind of a difficult book to preach unless you just preach a verse or two because it jumps all over the place usually. I mean, there's not like 10 verses usually together that address the same thing. It gives wisdom here, then it gives another point of wisdom, another verse or two down, and another verse of wisdom, and another verse of... So we say wisdom, right? The Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. So we started out by saying, well, we clearly getting drunk is against God's will. But you know, as I read this verse, and I'm thinking, God, I want some wisdom here. Could anybody read this verse and say, wine is okay? It says right there, wine is a mocker. It's bad. It brings out bad things in our lives. Strong drink is raging. You know, why do people take that alcoholic beverage and drink it? A lot of times it's trying to forget the present. Right? And you know, this is really, and you know what? Typically, if they drink enough, what they do, they wake up feeling worse the next day and everything even looks worse. But this says, this is God's wisdom. Wine's a mocker, makes a fool of you, really. It's raging. I had a brother. This is the brother who was an alcoholic. His name was Bob. My boys never knew their Uncle Bob. Bob, people said that he had the best personality in the family. And people said of my brother Bob, he could do anything. He could do tree work, he could do drywall, he could work on cars. I mean, he could do, but you know what? Alcohol got a hold of him. At a teenage age at some point, upper teenage, I think he was working for somebody and he started drinking some. Probably unbeknownst to my family at the time, but it just grabbed him. And whenever he got alcohol in him, he got mean. He wanted to fight. And there was probably a time or two almost got in a fight with me. Not a good idea. But I'm telling you, alcohol's like that. It's a mocker. It makes you in a rage. And can I tell you that my brother ended his life? At my mom's house, he took a gun and ended his life. He lost his marriage. Both of his boys, alcohol-related, were killed. He lost lost basically everything. And then he took a gun and killed himself. He has, in the past, he had professed Jesus as his Savior, and I have that hope. But can I tell you, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Don't be deceived by the good feeling you might have for a skinny minute. That's the Bible. I don't know how anybody could read that part and say, oh yeah, wine is good. Social drinking is good. I just have my little six-pack in the refrigerator and I'll just pull one out every once in a while. Come on. I mean, get real. I mean, use the brain that God gave you. When you read this, you say, no, it's not a good thing. You know, and one thing about it, too, some people, I can handle it, I can handle it. You know, there's not too many alcoholics that don't think they can handle it. Right? I can handle it. I don't have a problem. You have a problem. It's just, really? Proverbs 23, verses 29 to 35. Let's see how this describes drinking. Proverbs 23. I'm going to get this up in my Bible instead of looking at the monitor so I can explain a little bit better. Proverbs 23, verse 29.